Northern Brewer is the proud sponsor of the Brewing Network's Jameel Show. They have the widest selection of domestic and imported malts and grain, hops from all over the world, and a full line of liquid and dry yeast. No matter what style of beer you're brewing, Northern Brewer has the ingredients you need, plus fast shipping and expert staff to help you make the best beer possible. Please visit northernbrewer.com for all things homebrew.
This is the Brewing Network's Brewing with Style, hosted by Jamil Zainashev and Mike Tasty McDole, along with special guest Jonathan Plisé. Now, here's Jamil.
Hey, howdy. Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters.
Hey, brewers and brewsters. How you doing there?
Brew sisters?
Yeah, the brew sisters. there's more and more of those?
That's a good thing.
Yeah, it's great. I noticed, like, in my home brew club, there's a lot more females, you know, jumping
not,
in.
It's not a sausage fest anymore.
Yeah, we have to behave ourselves. Not that we didn't before.
But not be spooning you anymore.
Behave yourself. Yeah.
Whoa!
Whoa.
Sorry.
We're here.
That was me.
He's taking his hard hat off. It's the first time he's had it off all week.
Just came off the roof.
Yes, yeah, it's been one of those weeks. Exhausting week. I could use beer.
Yeah.
A warming beer.
Belgian blondes.
Right, we're enjoying some Belgian blondes here. And that's the show for today, Belgian Blonde Ale. Actually, a real interesting style. I think one that is often misunderstood.
Well, they vary a lot, even, you know, because there's so many ways you can make them.
Yeah, but also I think, you know, misunderstood in that, you know, people make these giant ones and they're making something else. There's other styles to cover those things.
Like a triple or?
Right. I think, you know, Belgian Blonde is fairly well defined. I think it's a definite category. I mean, you know, you go to Belgium, there's a lot of different beers and a lot of them that don't really fall into categories. And you kind of say, well, it's kind of like this, kind of like that. And I think Belgian Blonde is actually one of the ones that's, you know, fairly well defined.
Cleaner brew, for sure.
Yeah. John, do you want to
throw it at you?
Give us, yeah. Why don't you give us the lowdown on the hoedown of the
style?
The style.
Should definitely light spiced hop aroma. You know, Asturian Golding or a East Kent Golding should come through. You should have some Pilsner malt. You know, maybe a candy like aroma coming through from the adjunct sugar malt using the boil. Esters for sure, you know, a Belgian yeast strain, a clean Belgian yeast strain used. You might get some orange or lemon flavor, they say. You're looking for esters, you know, a well-fermented Belgian yeast flavor and aroma from the yeast strain. Very clear, pale to golden color. It's like 3 to 7 SRM. IBUs range anywhere from 15 to 30 IBUs. Should be malty, but finished very dry. You should get an alcohol warming presence at the end. Be careful, because it could be a dangerous beer, because, you know, it's very approachable, it's session-like, you know, it's kind of competing now with those Pilsner beers out there. It's like a, you know, but it's got that alcohol in there, that 6 to 6.5% alcohol, so definitely encourage homebrewers to brew it, craft brewers and stuff. It's, well, fun to drink.
Well, and, you know, one of the things in the description you were saying, it's kind of that slight sweetness, that sugar, like almost candy-like little sweetness. And back when we were doing the original shows, Jamil shows, you know, we would talk about Pilsner malt and how sometimes you could get kind of that candy-like sweetness from just Pilsner malt. And, it, you know, we were, you know, supposing how that was related to, you know, mash temperatures and fermentation and residual sugars and things like that and oxidation and a number of things. And it's interesting that, you know, a lot of these, I think you kind of get some of that candy pills sweetness. I think,
for sure,
you know, if you're making this, you got to use some Pilsner malt. And I think that lends to it and you kind of get that malty, bready kind of thing. But you also get that little candy-like sweetness.
And you want that,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, absolutely. And I think that that's it's an interesting point how that all kind of fits in there, you know.
And it's the style too. I mean, that's when you're looking for that in the brew.
absolutely.
That's what you expect at this beer, to have that sort of, you know, not cloyingly sweet, like a Golden Strong is like an extreme example of it. Mm-hmm. But that's what I look for in a strong, is that sweetness, and I look for it in a blonde as well. Because, I mean, the blonde goes up to almost to a strong level.
Mm-hmm.
It's just that, you know, like, just a few points difference, really.
Right. So. Yeah.
And it's important for the beer to be dry. So
yeah, to finish dry. I mean, you start with some maltiness, some sweetness, you know, kind of a fullness, but, you know, the end result needs to be fairly dry. I think the Leffe is, you know, got that in spades. It's it starts off kind of sweet and rich and full, and then it's got a nice dry finish.
That goes away.
That's an excellent example of that.
Delicious.
And yeah. That's the number one classic example. Scott, you did an excellent job at hunting down some classic examples. We had the Affligem Blonde. We've got the Bruges Zot. And we've got the Merzdus Blonde, which isn't considered a classic example, I guess, because it's not on the list. But I think it's, you know, kind of fits in there. You know, my take so far has been these are all pretty good. I think the Zot is shot.
Yeah, it's apple-y.
Yeah, that's
gone.
Heavily oxidized and
cidery.
Yeah, you know, the way I knew right off is when I poured it into my cup, I saw, you know, it's orange.
It's green
color.
Kind of, it's green,
brown, orange, green.
Yeah, it's got some green in it.
A lot of floaties, but it is so dark and kind of brown. It's, you can tell it's oxidized just by the appearance. Because a great blonde, I mean, look at the Leffe is you know, it's brilliantly clear and, you know, a yellow golden, you know, bright you know, light pale beer. And I think that's, you know, an excellent. Yeah, that's how it's supposed to appear. And when they appear kind of brown, you got to figure. And then, you know, you go right to the aroma and the flavor. And like John's saying, you're getting some apple. You're getting some, like a caramel apple almost. And that's not appropriate in this style. Uh-huh. So if you're getting an example, when you try these at home, if you're trying these same beers and you know, you get an example that tastes a lot like caramel and, you know, apples and all that, and you know, it's shot. It's past its prime. Now, that's a beer that that's won at the World Beer Cup gold medal in 2006. And this bottle is probably from 2006.
It's the gold medal batch.
Yeah.
Lucky us.
So,
was it in your cellar, Scott?
Yeah. No, it was. I went to the my local, and I love that we all have a local now, and I can just drop 5 minutes away, and there's all these, any given style, you know, they got a bunch on demand. Right. But I got three from the list, and then this one, the Bruges Zot, was not, as you mentioned, but it was the only other Belgian blonde.
No, that
I had.
One's on the list.
Oh, which one wasn't?
The Merzdus.
Oh, okay. Yeah, they had four Belgian blondes, basically, so I just got all four.
Yeah, yeah. No, I've been there to Bruges a couple of times, and it's a great beer. You know, this example didn't travel so well. It was a corked and caged beer, and it didn't do so good.
Didn't have any pop. But the beer's not, like, highly carbonated, like it had a secondary fermentation, but all the malt's out of it, so it went someplace.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that, you know, the other thing I think about this is, you know, the style guides say how it's kind of to appeal to Pilsner drinkers, you know, the whole, you know, lighter beer, you know, cleaner beer kind of thing. And, you know, you see that. I mean, they're, you know, the Belgian character is fairly restrained in these. And, you know, it's interesting that that's the case. I lost my train of thought. you know, it's interesting that, I completely lost my train of thought.
Whatever it was, it was interesting.
Drawing a blank here. Yeah,
yeah, you know, on that restraining thing.
A restraining order?
Yeah, restrained flavor. You know, 2009, I remember, Chad and I were making blonde ales. Somehow we got on the kick. I think we somehow got our first bottle of Leffe or something like that. We thought, well, this stuff's really good. Let's make that style. So we set out to make it, right? And then we didn't know what yeast to use. Anything like. So we start trying all the different yeast. If you go to the White Labs website, there's a document that cross-references all their yeast strains and gives, you know, comments about, you know, what kind of flavors and aromas and esters they give off at each temperature.
Mm-hmm.
And we went to that and we said, you know so we do one at a certain temperature and then we taste it and go like, yeah, we want more ester. So we either change the temperature on that one or we start doing a lot of splitting of yeast and stuff like that. Mm-hmm. to do more different trials at one time. We had a great time. We finally just got tired of Belgian blondes.
He brewed a lot.
And drinking them, and so yeah. We just stopped doing it. But it was a lot of fun because it just taught us a lot about each of the yeast and what they'll do. Mm-hmm. And how they are so affected by temperature.
Did you have a favorite yeast for making
the 550? What is that? That's the that's the one we ended
Belgian
up
ale.
With.
Golden.
It's a basic Belgian.
Arden something or whatever it is. Yeah.
Ardennes is like a 540, 565 or something. Right. Yeah.
Anyway, that's the one we seem to like the best. At like a cooler temperature turned up.
And did you ferment it cool, like in the low 60s? Like
on that one we ended up, well, we did each of these yeasts at more than one temperature.
Uh-huh.
You know, if it was going the right direction, we'd keep going. If it was going the wrong direction, we wouldn't go to, you know, higher, but we'd go back to low or stop using it. But yeah, we tried all the temperatures and we found the 550 at like 63, 64 is what.
Yeah, the 550 is a nice yeast. It has a lot of character to it.
Yeah, it didn't need to be any higher, I don't think.
Right, yeah. I think you need to go with a lower temperature if you're doing the 550. I'll tell you what. If you're looking for a lot of these yeasts and you want to try, like, you know, the White Labs, the Y yeast, a wide range, and, you know, great, you know, Pilsner malt, all that's available at our fine sponsor, Northern Brewer. Check them out at northernbrewer.com. They got, like I said, wide range of stuff, great shipping prices, great customer service. All their products are fresh. Fantastic people. Great company to do business with. So, you know, if you're unable to find something at your local homebrew shop that you need to brew a great Belgian blonde, I suggest you get your browser and point it to northernbrewer.com and check them out. They've been paying for the show, so you don't have to, so... Send a little love their way. I'm sure they'd appreciate it. All right. Let's take a short break, and when we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about these beers before us and what makes a great Belgian blonde after this.
For nearly 15 years, homebrewers have been served by one place in Michigan where you can buy yourself a serial killer grain mill. Adventures in Homebrewing. Did you try all those great Michigan beers at the National Homebrewers Conference in San Diego or Seattle? Adventures in Homebrewing delivered. Did you see a great false bottom in your buddy's cooler or brew kettle? Adventures in Homebrewing delivered that. And did you see that great custom-built brew stand? Yep, Adventures in Homebrewing delivered. Since 1999, Adventures in Homebrewing in Taylor, Michigan, Ann Arbor, Michigan, and online at homebrewing.org has been serving homebrewers across the globe. Check out their innovative 2.5-gallon keg with metal handles, great homebrew kits, and the fully adjustable serial killer grain mill. Visit them in Philly for the 2013 National Homebrewers Conference. Not going to make it? Check out all the fun of Adventures in Homebrewing at homebrewing.org. For a limited time, coupon code BNETWORK will slam 10% off your order. Bam! Adventures in Homebrewing. Join the adventure at the Great Lakes home for homebrewing supplies. Online at homebrewing.org. And don't forget coupon code BNETWORK for a limited time. Join the adventure today. A vial of White Labs yeast is the key to your best beer. When you open a vial of White Labs yeast, you're giving your beer its best chance for a perfect fermentation. In addition to their already incredible variety of yeasts, White Labs is proud to announce WLP-90, San Diego's super yeast, now available year-round. WLP-90 is super clean, super fast fermenting, with low esters, and has a neutral flavor and aroma profile. It's alcohol tolerant and highly flocculent. For more of the latest White Labs news, click over to whitelabs.com, where you can read reviews of yeast, learn in the lab section, and join the customer club. And if you should find yourself in San Diego, White Labs has a brand new training facility for craft brewers and home brewers alike. Whitelabs.com. Discover yeast, nutrients, enzymes, and more for commercial breweries, home brewers, and homebrew stores. White Labs. It's all in the vial.
What'd you get? More brewing ingredients?
Yep. You know what I love about Brewmaster's Warehouse?
The $6.99 shipping.
Well, yeah, but...
Oh, the in-store classes for beginning brewers.
Yeah, that's cool, but...
Oh, the Brew Builder. Creating and saving your recipes online is awesome!
No, I'm... Yes, but...
The cheese-making supplies.
No.
Oh, the wine-making supplies. Oh, the distilling equipment and liquor flavorings.
All that stuff is awesome, yes, but what I really love is that the guy who runs it is totally hot. And that Brew Builder software is awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Brewmaster's Warehouse brings you flat rate shipping on great equipment and ingredients to make beer, wine, cheese, and spirits at brewmasterswarehouse.com. And if you're in Georgia, stop by Brewmaster's Warehouse Monday through Saturday from 10 to 6. Visit brewmasterswarehouse.com today because it's totally hot.
Oh, yeah.
Hey brewers, it's planting season. Have you ever dreamt of walking through your own hop garden? Well, look no further than Woodburn, Oregon and the Crosby Family Hop Farm. Blake Crosby and his family have been passionately growing hops for five generations. And right now, they're taking orders for 2013 rhizomes for all retail and wholesale customers. The Crosbys know how to grow hops and are here to help you establish your family's very own successful hop garden. In fact, when you plant a hop rhizome from the Crosbys, you're using the same plant your favorite professional brewer bought his hops from. Friendly professional service, fast shipment, and quality hops at competitive prices. The Crosby family brings all of this to you. Call 503-982-5160. Or visit bcrosbyhops.com and let Blake Crosby and the Crosby Hop Farm help make your hop garden a reality. bcrosbyhops.com. Hops from the Crosby Family Farm to yours.
Hi, I'm Jason Harris, the proud owner here at Keystone Homebrew Supply. We're thrilled to be entering our 20th year of supplying this great industry. And to show you, the Brewing Network Army, how much we appreciate your support, we're offering you 10% off your first order on our website, keystonehomebrew.com. Just use coupon code BNARMY at checkout, and I'll get your order out the same day. My goal at Keystone Homebrew Supply has always been to have a complete supply of everything a brewer could want. When you place your order online or when you come into our store, it's our goal to have everything on your list and more. One aspect of KeystoneHomebrew.com that we're really excited about is the ability to fulfill customers' exact grain bills. Do you hate to wait? Keystone Homebrew Supply can get your precious yeast and hops to you within just one day if you live between Connecticut and Virginia, and within 2 days east of the Mississippi. KeystoneHomebrew.com. I'm Jason Harris, and I approve this message.
Now back to Brewing with Style.
All right, we're back. We're enjoying some Belgian blondes and discussing what makes a good one, you know, experiences we've had brewing them, recipe tips and things like that. You know, one of the things in the Maritzus, I get a lot of hop character. You know, and it's interesting. I think that's, you know, kind of almost so much that kind of pushes it. Maybe that's why they don't consider it a classic example.
It may have fallen out because it doesn't taste like, to me, what I expect a Belgian blonde to taste like. Mm-hmm. It's much too dry.
Yeah, I find
but
it
I don't
very
sense that the
body.
Dryness is the hop, though.
It's kind of watery. Right. The hops just kind of come forward.
Right, and so you're getting kind of that slightly spicy, floral, kind of like a Saaz or Kent Goldings or, you know, Styrian Goldings or some that kind of hop character in it. You know, it doesn't have any of that, you know, it'd be inappropriate to use an American-style hop. You know, you wouldn't be using Simcoe, Columbus, none of that. It needs to be one of those kind of spicy kind of...
Noble.
I think you could get away with maybe Liberty or...
Oh, yeah, or Willamette, maybe?
Willamette, yeah. It's a Mount Hood.
Yeah. Mount Hood, yeah.
I think that those would go well in this style of beer. I think you'd do that. But, you know, it needs to be restrained.
Yeah, exactly.
I think this is, you know, bordering on too much.
Yeah.
I think if you were to throw, you mainly, you know, use a lower alpha hop variety for your bittering, and then you're using enough that it starts to peek through in the flavor as well. I think mm-hmm. that's the way that I usually do it. But right. I think you could throw a quarter ounce or maybe even a half ounce in, you know, right. towards the end, last 10 minutes.
Get a little aroma better.
Yeah.
Come through there.
Get a little bit more of that hop character in there.
Well, the Leffe's got obviously has a great aroma. It just stands out really well. You think that's through like late hopping, or the particular hop that they use, or think see, that the breweries are actually doing late hopping to increase aroma?
Now, see, on that, I don't get a whole lot of.
I get a candy like.
I get more candy, more Pilsner malt,
but not hop aroma like a spicy.
No,
size thing.
I just get a like a
fruity,
sweetness. Yeah,
fruity
candy like.
Candy like.
Tasty's nasal passages are just permanently frosted with resin, so he just gets hop aroma from everything.
Can't smell a thing.
Oh, I didn't think that was hop resin.
Oh.
Your cousin.
That's funny.
And that's, I think the Leffe is a great example of that, you know, that malty, candy, pilsner, fruity, you know, the yeast thing. And, I think the best way to get that kind of character is high quality Pilsner malt, high quality yeast, good fermentation practices, Tasty was saying, if you try different yeast, different temperatures, different pitching rates, different oxygen, things like that, you can kind of dial in that, I think this is an excellent example, and it really gives you that great, malt character, great yeast character. Mm-hmm. That you're looking for in this kind of style.
But you have to be careful with a lot of the brewing process, mash temps, sugar additions. I mean, those two things alone will affect that overall fermentability, the maltiness impression, the mouthfeel. I mean,
right.
I mean, would you mash this dry? Would you be conservative with the sugar addition?
Right. You want it to finish dry, but you want that fullness and sweetness as well to start. You know, the Leffe has that great character. And, I would probably target, maybe like a 154 or something, and then some sugar addition. And, proper fermentation, I think you could get that kind of initial sweetness, fullness, and then kind of a dry enough finish.
Because if you mash too low, it'd be too dry then. You wouldn't have that body to support it.
Yeah, it wouldn't stay up. It would go down.
Well, and, one of the things that we always talked about was, it's not necessarily, sweetness isn't necessarily the finishing gravity. Sweetness is the type of sugars that are left over. So you can have a higher finishing gravity with, less sweetness, with a bone dry finish.
Yeah, tastes bone dry at a high finish. Yeah.
And, that's because everything that tastes sweet has been fermented out. And what remains is something that's not very sweet, but you can have a beer that finishes much lower, but there's a lot of simple sugars left over, and that can end up as a very sweet beer
with a sweet finish, not a sweet finish, beer with a dry finish,
right? And not a lot of body either. And I think that the point there being, you have to balance it out. You have to be looking at exactly what you're doing. If you're going too much for the dry finish, if you're going for too big a beer, that's the other thing. You really need healthy fermentation on this, I think. One, because that's going to reduce the overall yeast impression. You can get less esters, you can get less phenolics, things like that,
because it cleans itself up better,
right?
It's
you can get a drier finish, things like that. If if it's when you try and make like a really big beer, I think you're in danger of having a much sweeter finish on a lower alcohol beer with a good pitch of yeast. I think you could get this thing to finish dry,
right? Even though it may on this hydrometer measure up there a little bit,
right. Yeah. Well, and I think the Leffe is,
I think, to me, that's exactly what's going on with that. Yeah,
that's
why it can be sweet in the tongue and then dry in the back.
It's creamy, but it's got kind of a bright dry finish. Really is something fantastic. I think that's why.
So what's a typical recipe for like a Belgian blonde? Like, say, if you're trying to make the Leffe?
Mainly Pilsner malt. You might throw in some aromatic. No crystal malt to speak of. Or if you do any, it's, a very light crystal.
Small amounts,
and that can support the body and kind of give us a sweetness. That could be a good addition. And then, a noble hop or a slightly spicy floral hop, maybe something German, or a Kent Goldings or a mm-hmm. Noble German or a Saaz or something like that. Spicy. I think those are typical. And some sugar, some simple sugar.
Oh, that's what Chad and I liked about our experiments. We could make a lot of the beer because a lot of wort because part of it was sugar. We didn't have to mash as much grain to get mm-hmm. To get the starting gravity that we were looking for.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So, what would be like a reasonable amount of percent sugar in the total?
On something like this, I'd go maybe 10%.
10.
Yeah. I think you'd go anywhere from 5 to.
And that would be like a neutral sugar. You don't want it to be like something that adds flavor to the beer,
right? I wouldn't go with anything.
Just beet sugar.
I'd go with the cheapest sugar I could buy at the grocery store,
cool.
or at Costco or whatever.
All right.
Whatever you use to make cookies with, I guess. Right.
Yeah. Now, John, have you made any Belgian blondes?
A few years ago, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Keep it simple, Just simple, one malt. I'm a less is more kind of home brewer. I don't like to use a lot of crystal malts on any beers, really.
Mm-hmm.
Try to let the base malt, I tend to boil more, bring out more color from the base malt. But, big fan of Belgians. Big fan of Belgian doubles, really.
Right. But, yeah, when you started out, you were brewing a lot of Belgians.
Yeah, that's how I got hooked, as a home brewer. That was my passion, really, for a few years. It was all Belgians before I got into mm-hmm. lagers.
Yeah, and then you got heavy into lagers for a while.
Yeah, I was never really a hop head until after the lagers.
Oh, yeah.
Because Mike was always around, providing the hop beer, so I decided not to brew them. But Belgian beers were definitely the thing that kind of blew my mind.
Right.
There's so much going on and what the yeast do, and, a lot of the beers then were clean and yeast flavors, and then all of a sudden mm-hmm. you get a Belgian beer that has this crazy yeast note, and you're just kind of like, the sky's the limit as far as fermentation,
right.
manipulation.
If you had a tip for everybody on brewing Belgian beers, what would it be?
I would start fermenting low
mm-hmm.
and ramp it up 2 degrees every other day.
Mm-hmm.
Just to make sure you get the dryness, because there's nothing worse than a sweet Belgian beer,
mm-hmm.
And then hold it at 72 right. for like a week, 4 days.
Yeah. Pick your temperature for the yeast growth. That's going to control a lot of the flavor profile.
Right.
And then ramp up from there. Whatever you're starting at, just ramp up from there and allow the yeast to get more and more active and to finish dry.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good tip.
Still curious about Mike's experiment. You tried all these strains with Chad and stuff, but I'm still a little curious about the temperature ranges and were you guys doing crazy stuff? Like, let's
no,
go
no,
easy
no, we
all
didn't do
the
strange. No, we were doing like a 62 to 64 was one point. Then we, 65 to 66. And then we tried, we would start at the low end.
Uh-huh.
And then we'd raise it. Again, we'd look at the chart, right? So if the chart said, when you go from the low temperature to the medium, this is what you would expect the changes to be. And we go, well, we don't want that. So, fine, we'll just go to different yeast. Right?
Right.
So, I don't know. We just tried to move it. And finally, we come up with this one yeast at this one temperature.
And that was best of the style, was the 550.
That's what we decided that was the beer. Of course, we stopped making it, went back to making IPAs.
Of course.
Having a lot of fun with that.
That's a 180.
I don't think I was on the podcast in 2000. I think it was on the podcast in part of 2009. Hmm. I think that sounds right. I don't think I was on the show yet. I was the guy on the couch.
Did you?
I was stoning around the couch.
Did you do any late? I know you said you thought the Leffe was maybe late hopped, right? Did you?
Yeah, I thought it had more hop, like mouthfeel and aroma, and I got quite a bit of aroma when I first poured it out. It's since gone. But.
Did you guys do that when you and Chad brewed? Did you late hop Belgian?
No, we were more looking for the yeast of the Belgian profile as more than hops. Sure, we were just doing normal 5 minute addition. We weren't dry hopping or doing anything like that.
Right, and you wouldn't really want to, right? Because you're looking.
Well,
for
even then,
yeast.
I don't think I did that much late addition or dry hopping. Really, with American ales, it was something that developed aggressively lately, like in the last 3 years.
Well, the Affligem, that one's got a fair amount of hop character to it as well.
Yeah, it does. Yeah, and as again, that one seems drier.
Yeah, drier. I mean, the hops, as late in the finish, you're getting, the hop character is really coming through. You're getting kind of vegetal, grassy, floral, spicy, kind of earthy.
It's just funny how beer, when it warms up, it's like a new experience.
Right. Well, and you guys listening at home, you shouldn't just be sitting here, following along, going, yeah, yeah, yeah. You should be getting these beers and trying them, and you know, taking some tasting notes along with us. You know, the Marisus, I think you get that. You know, they talk about earthy as one of the characters in the style guide, and I think you get some real earthy in this one.
Yeah, the earthiness would come from the hop choice, right?
Yeah. I mean, it might be from, you know, something else, yeast-related, fermentation-related, packaging-related. I mean,
what is earthy? I mean, when you say earthy, what is that flavor?
It's that skunkiness kind of that you're talking about, right?
No.
Is it dirt? I mean,
kind of a dirt mushroom.
More of a vegetal, but not vegetative. I mean, it's more like a...
Earth. Yeah, it's not DMS.
No, it's not. It's not an off flavor.
You know, woody, mushroomy, kind of woody. Earthy.
Earthy.
Come on.
You hear it in food a lot, you know, in beers. I'm like, what the hell is earthy?
Scoop of dirt in your mouth and it's going to taste earthy, I think.
Are you trying to avoid that with this style?
No, that can actually be, you know, part of the style.
That's allowed. Permitted. Yeah.
One would achieve that. How?
Through adding earth.
Let's dump some dirt in there.
Hops grow out of earth.
Right. You know, it's a combination.
You've heard of diatomaceous earth? This time you use real earth.
Fermentation character, you know, yeast selection. That could be, you know, I think that there's something else a little going on in that beer besides just a clean Saccharomyces fermentation.
Could be their house yeast, right? It could be put off esters that give off that sort of effect.
Could be the cork. That could be cork.
Could be a cork.
That's definitely earth cork character. Yeah, and you know,
kind of get that character from it. Huh. Well, and one of the things I want to bring up was Scott mentioned Alabama is in the throes of legalizing homebrewing, so that would make all 50 states, and I think the AHA has played a big role in making that happen.
Mm-hmm. Big time.
You know, and your dollars as members is going towards, you know, doing things like this, you know, assisting in, you know, making homebrewing legal, watching for, out for laws that are counter to, you know, the homebrewing hobby.
Right.
You know, putting on great things like the AHA conference, you know, doing things to support the hobby and make sure it's vibrant and growing. I think it's been fantastic. This, you know, one of the reasons I spent 9 years on the governing committee is I just felt like it was really a worthwhile organization, worthwhile use of my time. I don't have a whole lot of time to spare, but I felt that that was something that I should be doing. And I think everybody who's listening, if you're not an AHA member, you should be. I think, you know, you'll get some very concrete benefits from it. You'll get, you know, the Zymergy magazine, which is excellent. You'll get your pub discount program. You'll get, you know, if you go to the GABF, you'll get to, you know, get tickets for the members only session that they do, which is the best session of the GABF. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just a number of things. But, you know, all in all, you're supporting the hobby, I think, and that's a good thing. If you really are interested in joining the AHA, you go to the Brewing Network website, and you sign up through there, and a little slice of that goes back to the Brewing Network as well. So you're supporting two great organizations, the Brewing Network and the AHA, if you join up through there. So check it out, and you get a chance. Let's do this. Let's take a short break. When we come back, we will declare a winner, and we'll talk a little bit more about what makes a great Belgian Blonde after this.
BN Army Hop Tech has a great discount waiting for you. Do you often find it difficult to find specific specialty ingredients for your home brew recipes? Well, listen to this. Hop Tech stocks 59 different grains to choose from, 39 varieties of pellet hops, and 8 kinds of whole leaf hops. And Hop Tech not only carries Y yeast and White Labs yeast for you, but also Fermentus, 04, 5, 6, 23, 33, and T58 Belgian yeast, plus Cooper's, Nottingham, and Windsor yeasts. Got your recipe ready to go? Pick up some great brew gear like new long and short sleeve shirts, games, and more. HopTech's new website is being updated every day with new items. If you don't see it, call the shop. They're open 6 days a week. BN Army and AHA members get a 10% discount, and active military personnel get 15% off. Visit HopTech.com today for great selection, great service, and a great discount. HopTech.com.
Nico, listen, our lawyers said that we had to do this for 1 hour, and after this, we don't have to talk to each other for 3 more months until the next meeting.
Kids. Come on, let's get out of here.
I'm supposed to have more lines. I'm the professional. Hey, it's Sully.
And I'm Nico.
And we opened the 21st Amendment 9 years ago at 563 2nd Street in San Francisco, just two blocks from Giants Park, to make great beer and have a great time doing it.
That's right, because to us, the 21st Amendment is more than just the right to make beer. It's the right to experiment, to be innovative, and just do things differently. And so now, we're putting our craft beer in cans.
That's right, cans. You can find our world-famous Heller High Watermelon Wheat Beer and Brew Free or Die IPA throughout California and Alaska.
And now it's also available on draft at select accounts in the Bay Area.
So next time you're at your local neighborhood pub or good beer store, be sure to ask for 21st Amendment in cans.
Because everyone likes it in the can.
Tasty crack cans.
Tasty crack cans.
And now, Northern Brewer presents What If Homebrewers Ruled the World?
Ladies and gentlemen, if you'll follow me, I will lead you into the gallery area. Now, the first piece up for sale today is a Jamil Zainashev original, a bottle of 1997 vintage Evil Twin.
Oh, I see.
A bidding for this one-of-a-kind piece will start at £7,000. And if you'll continue to follow me, ladies and gentlemen, I can show you a rather abstract piece from Bay Area brewer Justin Crossley. It's a German Doppelbock entitled Justin's Giant Bock. The brewer's notes here indicate that this beer had excellent mouthfeel.
That's just a crazy dream. Or is it? With Northern Brewer, a thirsty nation can craft its own ale and lager for the greater good of mankind. Northern Brewer, the home of superior customer service and the finest selection of home brewing goods for the future.
Williams Brewing is your online resource for prompt delivery of quality home brewing supplies. Since 1979, Williams Brewing has offered the finest equipment and freshest ingredients and the best customer service in the business. Cut hours off your brewing sessions by using one of their 11 varieties of famous Williams malt extract. Their new SnapLock stainless steel camlock fittings will make connecting your pump or heat exchanger quick and easy. Or check out their exclusive paintball tank-based draft beer equipment. They even have their own line of precision hydrometers. Go to WilliamsBrewing.com to browse their vast selection. That's WilliamsBrewing.com. Orders placed by 4 p.m. Pacific Time weekdays ship the same day. Brewing is easy. The Williams way.
When I order a beer, I want my server to know more about it than I do. I want someone who enjoys good beer and loves helping others enjoy it too. I want someone who knows how to pour a perfect pint for any beer style. I want a Cicerone. The Cicerone certification program is creating the type of people who help you enjoy great beer. Home brewers and craft beer lovers know beer is more flavorful and complex than ever, and it takes some serious knowledge to store and serve beer right. Cicerones know beer. There are three levels in the Cicerone program: Certified Beer Server, Certified Cicerone, and Master Cicerone. Cicerones are truly the sommeliers of beer. The best beer locations have a certified Cicerone on staff. Relaxed and unpretentious, Cicerones are tested on storing and serving beer, beer styles, flavor and tasting, the brewing process and ingredients, and pairing food with beer. Learn more about your next beer guide at Cicerone.org. Certified Cicerone, because it takes top talent to present a perfect pint.
Tonight is the night.
We bring the creature to life, Dr. Blickmanstein?
Yes, J.P. Gore. Everything is perfect for my next fermented creation.
My daughter, this storm is too far away. We'll never have enough power to isomerize the creature's alpha acids.
Yes, J.P. Gore, we will. For I have in my possession the Tower of Power!
Blickman's new Tower of Power is the evolution of automation. Control hot liquor, sparge, and mash temps like a pro. The Tower of Power is a high-quality gas-fired rim system that works with your current brewing setup. With ultra-precision, the tower can hold your mash to one half of a degree Fahrenheit. Precision and repeatability. The Tower of Power is the answer to automatic, fast ramp times. See more at BlickmanEngineering.com. Bring your next creation to life with the Tower of Power.
Dr. Blickmanstein, with the Tower of Power, you can probably give me an afternoon at the pub to enjoy a pint.
Don't be silly, J.P. Gore. We have beer to brew.
Now back to Jamil, Tasty, and Blise. It's Brewing with Style.
Yeah.
Belgians make me want to rock.
Oh, yeah.
We're all in here fighting over the rest of the Leffe.
Yeah, that's a... I'll start right off. That was my winner. I mean, right off the bat.
Yeah. Our behavior indicates that, right? Let alone our comments.
I'm killing all these.
Yeah?
Yeah.
What was your favorite, Joe?
I'm torn. I'm going to go with the Affligan.
Yeah, that was my second choice, too. That was my second.
Only reason being that I think the Leffe is a little too candy-like.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when you're going for that ester, the BJCP guidelines talk about, they're looking for these ester profiles, these phenolics. I think they're more on the Affligan.
So I'm betting if you pour the...
This is a restrained beer style, though.
Yeah.
The Affligan is probably a lower ABV. I didn't check what it was, but it seems like it's lower in ABV.
So close.
Well, and that's, they have them as one and two in the...
is that right?
In the style guidelines.
Right there.
There you go.
Well, the Affligan is 7%.
Well, maybe the other way around.
Leffe is 6.6.
Well, so it's the sweetness. I was thinking that was alcohol sweetness in the Leffe.
No.
It's actually...
It's like a malt sweetness. And it finishes dry, but it's...
Yeah.
And,
it's just got a high finish.
Look at the lacing and legs on that thing.
Yeah,
you know?
Beautiful. So it's really well.
Really impressive. What about you, Scott? What's your impression of... Have you had a lot of this style? Have you consumed a lot of Belgian blonde or no?
No, not a lot. I have had plenty of Belgians, but not of the blonde variety. You guys broke your thing, though, by asking me after you had already offered your opinion.
Right.
So now when I act like a macaw and just repeat what you've said.
Right. When you regurgitate winning information, yes.
Well, I mean, it's winning information for a reason, right? I mean, you're just right. Like the Leffe is the best one. The Maridzos is third because it has... Mm-hmm. I don't know, like a Pilsner character or something.
Right, and it's a little sulfury, too.
Yeah.
And like you were saying earlier, a little skunky.
Right. So it doesn't really, especially up against these other two, it doesn't even taste like a Belgian blonde, hardly. So yeah, I would say the same. I love the dry finish of the Leffe.
The sweet dry finish, the huge maltiness to it.
Yep.
It's a great example. And like I said before, you guys should be drinking along with this. We're going to try and maybe announce our beer selections. It's a little tough, early for the show, and so you can go out and buy those and participate along with us and comment on the flavors you're tasting while we're doing it. I think there's a lot to be learned from that. All right, that said, you can listen along and while the show is done live and participate in the chat. So there's a live chat. You go to the Brewing Network site. You click on chat now and you jump chat right in. And you don't need a password or anything. You just make up a name and you dive right in. Scott's there in the chat room and you can ask questions. You can comment. You can say how stupid we are and things like that.
It's all good.
So how many people are saying how stupid we are right now?
Only about half of them.
Yeah.
The other half
are too drunk to type.
Yeah, well, that same half is currently referring to Please A by his old nickname, just so you know.
Oh,
so
nice.
Maybe a little more popular than you believe.
Right. Well,
it's legendary.
Yes, we got the... there's always three people that are able to to recall the past. So three out of the six, yeah.
Right. Myself and him.
There you go. Yeah, it's a rare show where we don't outnumber the chat participants, I think.
Right.
All right, so questions from the chat?
Indeed. Cadillac Andy asked, is there any aged character appropriate for this style? Is this a beer that should be brewed fresh with minimal aging for competition?
Excellent question. Because a lot of times people are like, well, it's Belgian. You keep it around for 10 years. I would say, no, you want this fresh. I think fresh is best in this.
Always.
What's going to get better with age? Not the hops, the malt? No, it's all right there, ready to go.
Yeah. Yeah, fresh. I think the example you got is just outstandingly fresh, it seems to me. And I think that's one of the reasons it's great. So, yeah, that's a good question. I would go, as fresh as possible. And the only unfortunate thing is, you're going to deal with a lot of judges that the only examples they've been able to get are these things that have, you know, been sitting around on a warm shelf for a year or two, and they believe that this oxidized caramel weird character is, you know, appropriate. That's the problem.
And in fact, missing in the French in the fresh beer.
Right, right. They're like, oh, you know, you don't have the malty character of a Belgian. Oh my God.
Bang.
Yeah, that happens all the time. But don't give in to that. You know, stick with doing it fresh.
So is the blonde the only Belgian style for which that would apply?
No. Belgian double.
Double, you want fresh as well?
All these things. You know, all those beers can be, you know, fresh. And I think, you know, a lot of them age fairly well. They change over time.
Yeah, I think 10, 14 days primary, a week in the bright tank.
Yeah.
You're drinking.
Yeah, it's ready to go. Yeah. Ready to rock and roll.
All right, next one from Afterlab. He said, the BJCP mentions light to moderate alcohol warming. As brewers were told to avoid fuel cell alcohols, how do we find that balance so we aren't lacking the alcohol warmth while also not going overboard, in parentheses, any particular temperatures or strains?
Well, fuel cell is a byproduct of fermentation from yeast stress, right? So you don't want the fuel cells. You want an alcohol produced by the fermentation, right? So that's going to just happen if you have a healthy ferment. So ferment clean, correct? I mean, you're the guy, Jamil.
Well, what do you think? And generally, I think once you kind of get up into the, you know, the upper end of the range, you know, the 7.5, I think, you know, you might pick up some alcohol warming. The Belgian ale yeast, I think, most of them will give you some alcohol, more alcohol character than like a clean, you know, American ale yeast or even a English ale yeast. I think they tend to emphasize that a little bit. And I think, you know, we tend to just expect it almost.
It's well, the higher the alcohol, really, to me, the higher the phenols. And so so the phenols sort of trigger an alcohol expectation and a warming.
Right, right, right. So I think there's something to that. But, yeah, you know, I would avoid, well, that's the other problem. You know, I was judging with a couple of guys that were like on Doppelbach, and they were like, oh no, if you don't feel the burn, then, you know, there's not enough alcohol in it. It's like, oh, you should feel a burn.
No.
So again, you're struggling against, you know, idiots.
Maybe they were talking about one night stands. It had nothing to do with beer.
Right. Yeah. Well, then the guy went out and had a couple of cigarettes, came back, and he's like, yeah, this beer is smoky.
God. Of course. Really? Did that really happen?
Yeah.
Really happened.
Yeah. At the second round of the Nationals.
Oh, no.
That was the quality of that day.
I think it's the same guy from the chat calling Please A Chicken Boy.
There you go. That was from like 92, right?
Yeah. But, well, yeah.
Is there something, okay, you mentioned that that a beer could be doesn't have to have a warming effect, that is a burn, to be fairly high in alcohol.
Right,
what part of the beer, or let's just say what part of a well-made beer covers up that burn? Is it like a maltiness or hoppiness or just complexity of the beer? Is it like it's hiding it kind of thing?
A
Belgian blonde, there's really no place to hide. It's pretty much,
you know, right,
Pilsner,
right,
some sugar, and let's go, you know, some yeast.
Well, I think you do, you know, again, I think those yeasts, long fermenting simple sugars, things like that, can tend to produce a little more of the fusel alcohols, a little more, you know, higher alcohol,
so the sugar
a little more
content.
Warming. Yeah, I think that can have some effect on it. And yeast strain plays a big role. Generally, I would, you know, go, like John was saying earlier, start with a, you know, a lower temperature and then raise up and, you know, see how that works for you. You know, don't strive for hot alcohols. You know, try to rein them in, and I think you'll get just the right amount. You know, if it somehow comes out to be way too clean, then, you know, I'd be surprised. But then you can kind of, you know, back off on your pitching rate or up the amount of sugar or, you know, start a few degrees warmer. And I think, you know, you'd be in the ballpark.
I think you touched on a good point earlier about mashing at 154. You know, I usually will always mash at 146, 148, but if you're adding simple sugar, you want to mash higher because you don't want to go too dry.
Right.
You know, and then that's something to put into.
And these yeasts typically will, you know, attenuate very well, you know.
Right.
They tend to be aggressive. I'm getting more of the hops now from the Leffe.
as it warms up.
Yeah, as it warms up, yeah.
I think that would be the other way, to get even
more. A little golder, too.
Yeah. No, you're in, just drinking. In your cup. Yeah, sorry. All right. we have a new sponsor.
A new sponsor?
A new sponsor. Surprisingly so. Somebody
That's awesome.
Yeah. A little forward progress here. You know, ten steps back, one step forward, or a half step forward. No, homebrewstuff.com. They're, you know, like I mentioned the AHA earlier, they're a proud sponsor of the AHA also, which makes me glad to hear. They've got a store in Boise, Idaho, 8,000 square feet.
Damn. Aren't you big in Boise?
He's big all over.
Yeah.
No.
Hey, he's just talking Boise. About my weight, man.
I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, I've been to Boise a few times, and it's a beautiful town, and quite a beer culture there.
Oh, really?
Quite a beer culture. Yeah, I'm shocked. You know, we get a lot of feedback from Boise, more feedback from Boise than we get from, like, San Francisco.
That's awesome.
Really fantastic. Well, I wonder if Homebrew Stuff doesn't have something to do with that. Those guys are probably players in that market.
8,000 square feet. And they'll do, if you don't happen to live in Boise, they do $7.95 shipping on almost all domestic orders. Uh-huh. And they're real passionate about homebrewing. So passionate so that the owner Marcus has even become a BJCP judge. They know their beer. They know their homebrew stuff. So check it out, homebrewstuff.com. New sponsor. All right, let's take a short break. When we come back, we'll get into a few more of your questions and wrap it up. After this.
All right, BN Army, it's trivia time. What's the only homebrew shop with over 1,000 recipe kits, $4.99 shipping on orders over $100, and is also home of the Wolf shirt? The one and only answer is Austin Homebrew Supply. For over 20 years, they've specialized in creating recipes such as the best-selling Texas Blonde Ale, Apocalypso, Hot Bomb 2.0, and Double Chocolate Stout. And they just recently unveiled their small grain kits that produce 1 gallon of beer. Visit AustinHomebrew.com to browse their extensive catalog of equipment and ingredients. They also have mini clone recipes of your favorite commercial beers. They're the exclusive retailer of BrewVent Yeast Fuel as well, Yeast Nutrient, and the all-new Bodybuilder. Follow Austin Homebrew Supply on Google+ to participate in video hangouts on popular brewing topics. So visit AustinHomebrew.com today and make sure you sign up for their weekly email with news and specials. Austin Homebrew Supply, AustinHomebrew.com.
I-10, huh? Getting tired of that same old handcrafted beverages day after day? Are you looking for something with more diversity than your normal beer? Fellow BN Army member Michael Fairbrother, owner of Moonlight Meadery, is reviving an entire beverage category. Mead!
The meads at Moonlight Meadery are all handcrafted from the finest honey on the market and are perfect for any occasion, like weddings, baby showers, or...
Excuse me? Mead is not your average girly drink, mister, and Moonlight Meads can be enjoyed anytime, anywhere. Football games with the guys.
Yeah.
Barbecues with the guys.
Yeah.
Operating power tools with the guys.
Yeah.
Actually, sir, that's really dangerous.
Good point, son.
Next time you have something to celebrate or are just looking for a new tasting experience, pick up a bottle of mead from Moonlight Meadery. Now in 21 states, making over 60 varieties of mead from dry, semi-sweet to sweet.
Break out of that craft beer lull. Grab a bottle of Moonlight Mead. Can't find some? Then ask. No, make that demand some.
Yeah!
Into the city. It's in ruins.
Only one man has the ancient knowledge to restore civilization.
I need a drink. Oh no, the liquor store's been ransacked.
You looking for beer, stranger? Boy, all the liquor got drunk up in the first 25 minutes of the apocalypse.
Wait, there's still some bottles over... Oh, no. Those are non-alcoholic beer.
I reckon you better stick to arrowroot tea and a desperate nomadic existence like the rest of us.
People, I'm a home brewer. I know how to make alcohol. It can't be done. Come with me if you want the beer.
Okay, I'm gonna need some big plastic buckets.
He is the chosen one. The prophecies say that he's gonna get us wasted.
Someone start heating water.
From the creators of Northern Brewer, The people who brought you massive selection and superior customer service comes the Homebrewer.
Hi, I'm Jamel Zainasheff, and in addition to my work on the Brewing Network, I write the style profile column in every issue of Brew Your Own magazine.
Hi, I'm Sean Paxton, and when I'm not prepping for the Home Brewed Chef on the Brewing Network, you can find me writing articles on how to cook with your home brew for Brew Your Own magazine.
Greetings, cretins. This is John Palmer, and when I'm not writing for Brew Your Own, I'm reading it.
John Palmer, Sean Paxton, Jamil Zainasheff. If you love listening to them on the Brewing Network, you'll love reading their articles, tips, and recipes in the pages of Brew Your Own magazine. Join Jamil, John, and Sean 8 times a year in Brew Your Own. And when you subscribe to BYO on the Brewing Network website, half of your subscription price goes right back to the BN to support great beer and food programming. So sign up for Brew Your Own magazine through the BN website today so you can listen and read your way to better homebrew.
Hey, my brewing brothers and sisters. This is Jamel Zainasheff, and I want to tell you about Heretic Evil Twin. You might be familiar with my homebrew recipe, which uses massive late hopping to create a balance between the malty sweet and the hoppy bitter, along with an outrageous malt and hop character. I wanted a beer with the same bold hop and malt character, so we played around with the homebrew recipe until we were able to make a great commercial version, too. We've created a beer rich in malt character, full of caramel, toast, biscuit, and an ever-so-subtle roast note. On top of that, we piled in an insane amount of Citra and Columbus hops at the end of the boil, as well as in dry hopping. This damn-the-cost approach to hopping gives Heretic's Evil Twin a great blast of citrus and tropical fruit that can't be matched by any other hop. The result is a bold, malty, hoppy, but easy-drinking beer. This is our top seller, our flagship beer, and I couldn't be prouder of it. Cheers.
Find Heretic beers near you. Click on Find Some at HereticBrewing.com.
To Brewing with Style.
All right, we got a few minutes left to maybe knock out some more questions in the chat. What do you got for us, Scott?
All righty, let's go to our homeboy Spider Wrangler, who asked,
Spidey!
In brewing hoppy beers, it is often suggested to keep hopping a touch higher to stand out in a flight. For beers built around their yeast character, like the ones we're sampling tonight, is there any benefit to brewing it with a bigger punch from the yeast for the same reason?
I would say that, yeah, there are retarded judges no matter what. So, you know, sometimes...
Right. By the way, what percent are retarded and what percent are... Don't answer that question.
I was on BJCP. There's like 7,000 judges.
Let's just say it's 80-20. And 4, we won't say which way that goes.
No, there's always people that are, you know, simply fooled by, you know, those tricks. And I think the thing to do is just, you know, brew the best example you can and help educate the judges. Yeah, sometimes you lean one way or another in a style. But I'd say, you know, if it works out beautifully and, you know, if you're doing this and it's detracting from the overall beer and the experience of drinking the beer, then I wouldn't do it. If you could do it and, oh, my God, this is such a great drinking experience, then I would do that.
Exactly.
You know, but I, you know, there's a lot of great judges out there, too. And, you know, your chances of getting one of those is less...
less obvious. No,
but I'm you know I'm you know never surprised when somebody you know they're able to you know they're like you know too hoppy for the style or oh you know it's a little too this for the style you know they're not fooled by that they're just like no it needs to be more like this like the rest of these in the flight
right.
This one stands out
right. Yeah it stands out as being different the way to stand out in a flight of beers by my experience is just tastes better than all the rest of the beers.
Right, quality.
If that means being in style,
cleanliness,
the freshness, the balance, the color, the clarity. Yeah,
right.
You just stand out amongst the rest. And once you stand out, and then is your beer taste good?
Mm-hmm.
The style guidelines just get thrown out the window. They don't even start looking. They don't care if it's in style or out of style.
Right.
Your beer wins.
Yeah, you're standing out in the important ways, subtle but so important.
Right.
And a lot of times people won't know why.
They can't even write it down. They'll give you
it tastes really good.
No comments. Give you a 42.
Right.
Right. They say, love your beer, want some, 42.
My trick was always to time it just right when it's pouring, just perfect.
Right.
It was just clarity, everything.
Schedule your brew day.
Yeah.
Yeah. That. Yeah, well, that's what a good brewer does. He knows what he can do in a given amount of time.
And, you know, in all fairness to Spider Wrangler there, I think, you know, his point is well taken that, you know, if you can do these things that differentiate your beer, yet you're making a great, you know, balanced example of the style, then yeah, you would do that. Sure, I could see that helping. Mm-hmm. So there you go.
I have a question, actually,
yeah,
from the chat room of my head. If I never did
pretty
brew
lonely
about,
in there, yeah.
It's a lot going
Scott.
On.
Scott.
See,
kill your co-host.
Scott. I've never brewed a Belgian. That is a style I've not attempted yet. If I was to brew a Belgian, and would you say use the Leffe recipe you can find, or would you say just go to your local homebrew shop and ask them for a recipe?
I'd say get a copy of Brewing Classic Styles.
Who wrote
you can
that?
Find them in the Brewing
Network
store. You know, I think that's a pretty good place to start. If you don't have access to a copy of that, you know, ask your homebrew shop. That's a good resource as well. You know, it's hard to say. You know, it's hard for me to say where to get the recipe from, because you never know. I mean, there's a lot of crappy recipes out there.
That's be careful with the internet.
Yeah, and there's people that's like, well, it's Belgian, so it's got to be 10%. It's got to be this. It's got to be that.
Place I like
and
to
it
go
needs
for
caramel because that's that Belgian malt character.
The place I go for good recipes besides Brewing Classic Styles is the AHA website, where they have recipes for previous winners of the national competition. Right. So these are second round winners that, by all standards, are probably 40 plus point beers.
Well, take those with a grain of salt too, because again, it's all based on the judges at the time.
What do you mean, our excellent judges?
Right. You know, just
I'm just saying.
I think you're right.
That's something.
That's a great source, and if you're an AHA member, you know, free to you. And but I would match up what you're seeing there with what you know about the style guidelines. And if it's like, and then we'll throw in some roast barley, you're gonna like, wait. This beer shouldn't have any roast barley. I mean, you know, this should be blonde, it should be light in color. Why are they putting in roast barley? Then question that recipe. You know, don't blindly follow things. Try and match it up with everything else you know.
Yeah, and I know it's all about how you brew it, so the recipe was kind of secondary. But the kind of overarching question was, is it a good idea to take the number one or number two commercial example of the style and just try and copy that recipe in general?
Sure.
Not just
absolutely.
That's a great idea. When you're done, you can
if
take
you get
that,
a valid recipe for that, that's what I would do.
Yeah. You know, then you can take that commercial style, drink it side by side with yours, and then decide, like, well, what are the differences, and which one do I like the best, and how do I make, you know, if it's the commercial beer that's better, you ask yourself, how can I make it more like it?
Yeah, I do that all the time when I brew. I'll go buy Spaten's Doppelbock, and I'll take my brew, and I still try to it's not there yet, you know. Just trying to brew that commercial style. It's a challenge.
I tell homebrewers all the time, like, well, what you need to do is go to Can You Brew It Show and get the whatever the style they're interested to. Say, the Union Jack recipe.
There you go.
Make it, and then you know,
get yourself
keep making
Union
it
Jack.
Until you can get it just like that, and then you've calibrated your process and your equipment. Then any other recipe that you get should be pretty much representing that recipe.
Well, that's why I like the Can You Brew It shows, was because, you know, you could be rest assured that that was an excellent recipe. That was the correct recipe. Yeah. And if you can't make it happen that way, it's not that you're getting a bogus recipe. Right. You're getting a known recipe.
Right.
And you know that it should work out. And if not, then there's something you need to correct in your brewing process. And so I thought that was, you know, really, really valid.
It's a great point. Practice.
Yeah. All right. That's all we really have time for in this episode. But if you're listening live, stay tuned. We're going to jump into American Brown Ales. If you're listening to the podcast, you've got to wait about 2 weeks.
2 weeks.
Oh, my God. But we're having lots of fun. We hope you are, too. Don't forget to check out our great sponsors, Northern Brewer. Those guys are awesome. NorthernBrewer.com. Great shipping, great prices, great materials, things like that. check them out. Support them because they support you through hosting or providing for this show. Check out the Brewery Network store. Lots of goodies in there. You can buy those goodies, and that supports the Brewery Network as well.
Rock out.
You see the air guitar going on over here?
Oh, yeah.
We need to get the video feed up.
That's why John is here. He pumps me up, man.
Yeah.
All right.
Till next time.
Till then, be strong.
And often.